Hey friends, it's your number one favorite paladin, Captain Kriggs. I just wanted to stop in for half a second, say that this episode was too good to try and find a way to split it in two different halves. I couldn't make that work. So next week we'll be getting back to our review reads. So don't fret about that. And secondly, wanted to say that we just opened our Hired Swords Discord. If you wanted to hop in, talk with the gang, see some spoilers, and just have a great time, you can find a link to the actual Discord itself on our Twitter page, right there pinned at the top. Hope to see you there, and enjoy the show. Previously on the Hired Swords. I have no idea what Gwen's gotten us into this time, but I trust her intuition. If this is linked to some ancient elven city of hers, well, it'd be the first time I've ever seen elves take to being underground. But who knows? Onward we go, I guess. You're listening to the Hired Swords. Did you miss me? No? Oh. Okay.
Okay. I shall begin our little episode here. Ready? Hello, everyone.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Welcome to another episode of the I'm just going to keep going. Of the Hired Swords. We are glad
I'm ready
here. And we're all ready, apparently, to do this.
That's some latency for you.
Yeah, for sure. Nobody's even in a hotel this time. But yeah, we're here. Actually, some of us are closer to each other than normal, but still not in the same room together, right?
I'm in a closet down the road.
Yeah, as we record.
Wow.
This episode. Wow. And, yeah, I'm with Ash. Hi, Ash.
Howdy. I just took a drink of something.
And what do you
Whoopsies,
play in this game?
But hello. I'm
Who do you play in
here.
This game?
Davin.
Okay. And,
I mean, Gwen.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Derek is here, too, speaking of Davin.
I'm surrounded by women's clothes.
That's funny. I usually am because my wife keeps the drying rack in here for her laundry in my office. You play Davin, right? Is that still true?
Yes. I might play Gwen, depending on what she does.
Yeah, okay. Yep. And Blaze is here.
I tried really hard to think of something funny to say, but what's up?
Oh, well, that is funny that you tried so hard. And Mikey's here.
Welcome to the show.
I play Joxer.
A little musical dance number, huh?
Yeah,
it's just our musical episode.
This is the musical.
See him stroll in with a top hat and a cane, yeah. And just like, "Welcome to the show."
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. It's good.
Come on and watch the swords,
or listen at least. Well, when you last listened to the swords, you heard us have this little bit of exploration in the cave where we found some dead hired swords, including one who was a leader of a party, a gnome sorcerer with a gemstone on his staff. We discovered this. We found the Hired Swords coins on them. And then getting through some deceptive magic, we were able to find some etchings on the wall that kind of revealed that this was a forward operating base of sorts for elves who would come from somewhere and hang out here, camp here during missions or things like that. And they had written on the walls, and they had carved some things in the walls that were very common to that sort of forward operating base kind of location. But then, after further investigation, we found a tunnel underneath some more illusion on the walls, and this tunnel led us down into a dark, dank, wet, mossy, narrow, increasingly narrow tunnelway towards a small ladder that climbed down into this small 10-foot by 10-foot room covered in moss and fungus and other things like this. Well, this room was filled with spores from this fungus that then caused all of our hired swords to be able to hear each other's thoughts. And that is where we left off. So you guys are standing in this about 10-foot circular room with a door at one end and that tunnel about 10-foot up above you, at the behind you. Gwendolyn has just started walking through the tunnel doorway ahead of you, and the rest of you hear her thinking about heading towards Almanora. She's walking that way. And you are all thinking, what? What do you guys hear in each other's minds?
I think my overall thought process is, Gwen, just get Gwen.
I am in shock. You just hear heavy breathing in her mind. Just, oh my God. I made it.
Okay. What about you, Davin?
Do we realize that we can hear each other's thoughts by this point?
You may not be able to, you may be thinking you're just hearing them speak, but you definitely are hearing each other.
Yeah, Gwendolyn probably doesn't realize it.
She's I let Craig's fall, huh?
Sure did, bud.
Yeah, he fell about 10 feet.
So I imagine he's thinking about that. I was so
don't
focused.
Don't tell me
on
my thoughts. don't tell me what I'm thinking.
I'm just saying. But yeah, no, I am fully focused and running straight towards Gwen. What is Gwen doing?
Davin's probably thinking, I wonder if the others, those dead ones, they found this place.
God, I can't wait to get out of here.
I mean, maybe. I thought that, whenever I came in, I assumed that they found this place, Davin.
What are you talking about?
Is he losing his mind, I think?
My you mind just is perfectly fine.
You just said that you thought maybe the ones in the previous room had found this place.
Why are you guys so loud?
And you guys hear in your mind, wait a second, can they hear what I'm thinking? That doesn't make any sense, unless it's...
Yes, or... and then I'll turn around. You're way over there. And that's what I'm thinking. I didn't actually say anything other than, like, stutters.
I may have been closer if you didn't let me fall, Kriggs thinks.
Nice.
I was heading...
Where are we? I just say out loud.
You hear Gwen say Almanora in her mind.
Davin thinks triangle. Hey, everybody. What was the last thing you heard me say?
I mean,
triangle? Did you say triangle?
I did not say triangle. No.
I don't trust these fungi. Can I guess, make a perception roll to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody make insight checks. And while you're making your checks, you're starting to hear little snickers in your mind.
Oh, that's a nat one.
Oh, no. That's a 5 from old Kriggles.
Oh, no! Who
also just thought to himself that he Davin doesn't have time for these games.
I got a nat 1.
3 natural ones.
Oh no.
Yep.
We're just hearing your thoughts.
Truth.
Would someone stop laughing?
You just keep hearing that as you guys are kind of fumbling around with your thoughts and trying to decide what's happening. And did anyone roll higher than a 10?
No, I rolled a 5 and I was the highest roll.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys are still looking at each other like, what in the world is going on? And you just hear in your mind.
Kriggs thinks to himself, something about these spores really the light they emanate, this bioluminescence, really does something to the color of Davin's eyes.
Spores. And then Joxer immediately throws his cloak over his mouth.
I never see a mushroom in face.
Davin thinks, God, Kriggs is filthy. How do you just get on the ground like that? It's disgusting.
This light is horrible.
I beg your pardon?
Could it get any grindier in here?
What are you talking about? Let's just go. Let's go. Let's get out of here. There's something weird about this room. It creeps him out. Too much echo or something going on.
Kriggs thinks to himself, did he just call me stinky?
You do stink.
You stink, he thinks to himself yet again.
Yes, I do stink. We've been traveling. Can everybody?
Why are they Wait so distracted by what? Never mind.
Why do we always wind up in
I opened
like
the
this?
Door, right?
Yeah, you're headed down the hallway. It's not okay, a super yeah, long hallway, on, so we'll get there. The whole time okay. they're having these conversations, Gwen, you are kind of slowly walking through this hallway with, and in your mind, like as you think about Almanora and you think about what you're expecting to find, you're not seeing that. You are seeing it get more and more unnatural as far as like, it's not just natural stone walls. It's built stone here. Somebody has
okay.
built something. You're still underground, but you're inside of a building of some kind, it seems like, that has been set up underground, and you're in this hallway. When you come to a kind of T in the hallway, and to the left you look, and there's a doorway that leads into a what looks like it might be probably some kind of dining room. There's a rug, there's stone floors, there's a bench, like a picnic table kind of table with benches, and it is covered in fungus, I mean colorful fungus that just kind of is all over the place. And to the right you see another room that kind of goes into, you can see into that room, and you can see the foot of beds, several beds kind of lined up against the walls inside there. And then ahead of you, and again, that's also filled with fungus. Just everything you're seeing here is just covered in this fungus and these large mushroom looking fungi. And they are, and ahead of you, you hear now the sound of rushing water, just loud, just like a rushing river ahead of you. And you can see about 15 feet ahead the banks of this river flowing, but there are these stone walls. So it's like a hallway to the end of a river that ends at a river. And then left and right, you see doorways with these two rooms. One, the left side is like a dining hall looking place. The right side looks like a bunch of beds.
As much as Ashley wants to go and explore these rooms, Gwendolyn is probably going to go towards the rushing water, because she's probably just thinking to herself, it's all an illusion. It has to be just like the hole we found to get here. Almanora is here, and she just goes towards the rushing water. Well, father,
yeah, and everyone hears her thinking these things as you guys start to head through the doorway behind her and moving a little faster. You're catching up but not quite caught up to her as she moves ahead past these two doorways. You pass another doorway. It's not a doorway. It's just like more hallway to the right that looks like it curves into a circular room to the right hand side, past this bunk, the place with all the beds. And then you're standing right on the banks of this river. You can't see across the river, but you see stones that look like stepping stones leading across, but they're covered in moss. And this river is just flowing hard and heavy across here really fast.
Gwen, maybe slow down. We got to think about this and not just rush across the water.
Do I hear him, or am I too far?
You can hear him in your mind.
Yeah, Joxer, honestly, like, if we could just think about something for once.
We just talked about this.
I think that's when Gwendolyn turns around and notices that they're not right behind her.
Did I just hear our friends?
Dale? Out loud, she goes, how are you guys doing this?
You hear in your head, that water is making me have to pee.
Well, I know it's Almanora. She doesn't. She just wants to believe it is. She's grasping
Almanora
for it.
Has to be close. It yeah. must be.
And she goes towards it.
Kriegs thinks to himself, you should have gone before we left.
Davin just glares at him for a second. Then he hollers out. He's like, Gwen, hold on. We can go across that way. We just got to make sure it's safe first. That water is really strong.
You guys can come up. If she's spent any time at all standing here, you guys can come up behind her. You guys will come up behind her unless she just goes straight across. It's up to her how quickly. You probably need 30 seconds of standing there for them to catch up to you.
She probably goes up towards the edge before
Look, more mushrooms.
All right.
Kriggs thinks to himself, dear gods, please don't let her do anything rash, as she's just inching closer and closer to this water.
You hear her. You hear him think that, Gwendolyn. And you guys do still see the spores floating around more and more the deeper you get into this place. It's almost like it's creating its own fog. There's so much of it. And you're still hearing every now and then. Okay. Like that.
I think I'll end up like thinking once I see her like stop, it's more of a thank everyone.
Gwen, no.
And
no.
Then as I hear that laugh, I can't remember if I did, but I will do Mage Armor again. Just terror.
Man.
Okay.
Mushroom salad sounds nice.
Oh, that's a good idea, Joxer, and I'll cast Mage Armor too.
This feels like a trap.
Nice. These two boys suddenly start having this little bit of a radiant glow with this magical armor around them. And you guys did also see, as you walk towards the water to your left and right, these other rooms. And they have the right-hand side looked like it had like a bunk room kind of with beds. And the left-hand side was like a dilapidated table that had kind of started to fall apart. And
yeah, I think Joxer didn't. He just went straight after Gwen. So
cool.
You hear in Gavin's mind, there might be something good in these rooms. And then he'll say out loud, maybe we should check these rooms to see if there's anything, you know, useful to help us get across.
What is this place? I wonder how old this stuff is.
That's not a bad idea. Definitely check. Gwen, are you just... And then I'll, like, look over the edge and see if there's any other way across.
Gwen's... I'll wait. I just... She kind of stops, and then in her mind, she just starts thinking, I'm here. I made it. I finally... This has to be it. And while she's waiting, she goes through her journal to see if she's ever heard of this river or cave or anything. Any recollection?
Make a history check.
Okay.
Or an investigation check.
Have I at any point started to pick up that, like, hearing Davin say the same thing twice felt...
You can make an insight check on that now.
Okay.
Nat 20. So 22.
Nice.
10 plus 5, 15. My insight.
All right. Gwen, you find in your dad's scrawlings, you find writings about the elves using forward operating bases to kind of have fully stocked locations for them to stay prepared so they could move ahead if they needed to in battle. And so this is seeming to be something like what he talked about. And they often have some sort of magical resources involved in there, as well as just things that they want to protect, but also a place that they feel like they could protect themselves.
Davin's going to move into the room with the bunk beds.
All right, great. You go into the bunk bed room and you see 8 beds laying there. They're just disheveled, you know, sheets, blankets, pillows kind of thrown, like just laying there, but they're kind of dilapidated. Things are kind of torn up. You can see where moss and stuff has kind of grown over most of it. Mold has kind of set into much of the mattresses and the pillows. There is this green and orange and yellow and light blue fungus that is growing here and there on everything. And make a perception check as you look around in there too.
I thought this would lead us to Almanora.
All right, perception check is a 13.
Okay, so as you're looking around, you kind of notice that some of these mushroom collection, some of these areas of mushroom have kind of collected and gathered where they form almost like the shape of a creature, like almost here and there. You can see them kind of setting like almost the shape of something that's got legs, and it's just sitting there, but it's just sitting there. It's not moving. It's not doing anything crazy. And you just see them just kind of sitting there in amongst the other pieces of fungus that are growing in here.
How many mushrooms are in this cave?
Davin's not going to think too much of that right now. He's looking around to see if there's anything, number one, that looks valuable, and number two, that looks like it would help get across the river.
Okay, investigation check is allowed here.
Whatever came of my 15.
Six.
You rolled a 15 to do what, Craigs? I'm sorry.
After I had heard Davin basically repeat
what
he said, I was curious if something was amiss.
Yeah, you definitely realize that you're hearing what he's thinking.
Okay.
Davin, what
there's
was your investigation?
In this room, really. A six.
A six. Yeah, you're having trouble finding anything other than moss and fungus in here. It's just kind of a gross, wet, mucky, basement-y kind of sleeping area.
Nothing in this room. He'll come back out. Anybody else look around? See anything?
Don't think about the necklace. Don't think about the necklace.
I've gone up to where the water is and trying to investigate, like, if there's anything across.
Okay. Make a perception check.
Okay.
Currently, having realized that I think I'm hearing thoughts, I'm doing everything in my power to just not think.
Okay.
Which is probably really loud.
I used a luck because I rolled another one, and that was a 16.
Okay, yeah. You can see that if you look at where the skipping stones kind of go, the mist and everything from how fast this river's flowing makes it a little difficult to see, but you do see an embankment, but it's hard to tell if it's more, if it's 30, 40, maybe 50 feet across. It's hard to tell for sure, but it's a little bit far from here. And that water is rushing pretty quickly, but it looks like with some care and some kind of delicate stepping, you could probably get across these skipping stones or stepping stones to get there.
Okay.
You guys hear in your head, well, I guess I'll do all the work over here. And Davin crosses across the way. I'll check this room too.
Okay. So you go into the second of three rooms in this area. And this second one is this dining area. And the dining area, you see what was some candle, like a candelabra against the far wall. This room itself here is about 30 feet long and about 20 feet wide, a rectangle. And the table is about half that size sitting in the middle of the room with a rug that spans almost the entire room. There's a small counter almost against the back left corner of the room. And it's kind of bursting with these fungus that have kind of grown out from the drawers and stuff as this thing looks like it is rotting. The table's rotting away. There's fungus and moss and things growing all over it as well. And again, you see little bits and some of this stuff that has kind of coalesced. And I don't know, possibly looks like there might be like they've grown into something a little more than just the little individual tiny little mushroom plants.
Well, this almost looks like a creature of some sort. It's like both Craig's worst nightmare and best friend at the same time.
Craig's is so dirty.
You'll hear in your head, those stones look super slippery. I don't know. I mean, maybe we could get across and just use a... What about friend? What?
Can I make another insight check? I'm like in another room.
Yeah,
and
everyone else can make insight checks for sure. Low DC. just beaten 8, okay?
14.
Is this what Dan was 22. Trying to show me?
You did it. Gwen, what did you roll? Insight check.
16.
Yeah, sorry, you guys all realize almost simultaneously, you're like, we're hearing each other's thoughts. And then once everybody kind of gets that thought and realizes, you hear in your minds, finally.
Who was that? I think, just naturally.
Yeah, I think I'll look over and... Gwen! Wait, did I think that? No, am I thinking that... No, Gwen.
How can I hear their thoughts?
You hear Davin say, don't think about the necklace. Don't think about the necklace.
Can Alec hear my thoughts too?
You're thinking about the necklace, I just say out loud.
Oh, the necklace.
Why would you be thinking about the necklace, Gwen is thinking.
Probably because it got exploded, Kriggs thinks.
It probably didn't get exploded.
Who's that voice coming from? Do you guys hear that?
What?
I heard some voice.
I think I heard Gwen laughing. It was weird.
I wasn't laughing. Why would he think I was laughing?
I wonder if that was Dale that Kriggs thinks to himself.
Don't think about the necklace.
Gwendolyn remembers the weird encounter she had with Dale.
Davin really shouldn't think about the necklace, Kriggs thinks.
If we could just stop talking about the necklace.
This is getting weird, guys.
I pull out Dale. Can I hear what he's thinking?
No, you don't think you hear anything from Dale.
Oh.
Did you say or think something about a friend for Kriggs? Is that what happened, Davin?
What? What are you talking about?
Why is Joxer's lips not moving?
Oh, Gwen, surely she's figured it out by now. She can't be that dumb.
I'm not dumb.
Davin says out loud, I'm sorry, we gotta stop this. Let's get out of here as quickly as we can.
Yeah. Did you find anything in the rooms? I just yell, I guess. I don't know. I'm confused.
Did you come out of the dining room?
No, I'm going to use Mage Hand to try and pull the drawers open.
Okay.
The sound of him doing magic, does that, the thought process of actually channeling, do anything audibly to my, brain?
What components are needed for Mage Hand?
None anymore, because I've upgraded it with the feet, so I don't have to do anything.
No, it's just like instinctual for him when he wants Mage Hand to react, it just does it. And so you do, you reach, your Mage Hand reaches, and what are you doing with your Mage Hand?
Pulling open the drawers.
Yeah, so you reach for the drawers, and when you pull, sure enough, a little creature about the size of a rat climbs out of the drawer. It skitters across the wall and goes under a hole in the wall. And you could barely make out. It looked like a series of these mushrooms, but it was a little creature and it scurries away. And as you look in it kind of startles you as it runs off. And you look down in the drawer and you just see a small wooden framed mirror.
I could have sworn I saw. Oh, that was creepy. I'm going to go and look at the mirror.
Okay, it just looks like a normal mirror. There's a wooden frame. It's painted with, looks like vines and things. And maybe it was, there's little chunks of it that look green. Like maybe it was painted green. And there's the rays in the wood that makes it look like vines and stuff, which is still pretty prevalent. And then the mirror itself is kind of murky and it looks like it's just really thin, polished metal that has been, shined to be a mirror, but the shine has started to wear off. So it's kind of like looking at yourself in an aluminum sheet or something, aluminum foil. You see kind of almost your face, but not really.
I'm going to use Mage Hand to lift that up and kind of rotate it around and just make sure there's nothing stuck to the back or anything.
Yeah, the back is covered with moss, this green moss and kind of rot. And you can actually see a hole in the wood on the back that is rotted through to the metal and the piece of tin, the polished tin there. And it's not polished on that backside, but it doesn't look like anything's weird other than it's just old and it's been in here in this dank, wet kind of area for a long time. And yeah.
I'm not cut out for this. You hear Craig just think to himself.
I wonder what he means by that. Hey guys, do you have any use for a mirror?
What does it look like?
Davin will come out of the room and he'll have it just floating next to him in the air.
I will probably stare at it and probably put my hand towards it. Do I feel any arcane magic coming off of it?
Make an arcana check.
Okay. That's what I was trying to ask without saying, hey, I want to do this check.
That's all right. That's how it's supposed to work.
Okay, great. Play it where it lies.
Yeah, I definitely heard that one fall off the table.
Yeah, definitely. That's a golf rule. Play it where it lies.
7 plus 6. 13?
13.
Yeah.
All right. 13. You don't really get any magical vibes off of it. The wood itself seems to be unique to you as
Okay.
Maybe it is capable of, it kind of gives you these, this like, I don't know, some things seem like they can be imbued with magic easier than others. This seems like it might be that, the wood of this mirror, but you don't sense any magical aura about it at all.
It feels elven, but I don't know.
Well, you can have it if you want it. Full disclosure, though, there was some sort of a mushroom rat sitting on top of it, I think.
Oh, that's fine, and she'll take the mirror.
Okay.
Griggs tries to sidestep the mirror to where he doesn't really feel like seeing himself in the mirror.
Okay.
As long as no one drops it, we'll be fine. Joxer kind of laughs to himself in his mind.
All right.
Should we try and get across this river?
Yeah, I wonder if anybody could make... it looks like there's a bank over there. Maybe we could use the brew hole again, and if someone could confidently make it to the other side without jumping on these rocks?
I mean, all of us have wings, I suppose. Some way, form, or fashion.
It takes a little bit out of me to do that, though. It's not just like the easiest thing in the world.
I might be able to figure something out if that's the direction we want to take.
About how far does it look across? I can't remember.
It was hard to tell if it was 30, 50, maybe more feet. It was kind of hard to tell, but it doesn't look... like, you can definitely see a bank across the way. It doesn't look ridiculously far, but...
this cavernous like area that we're in, do I feel confident enough that like a span of wings wouldn't just become crashing into walls or anything?
Yeah, if you there's really not a lot of distance where you're standing. It's about a 5-foot wide hallway, but ahead of you it opens up to where the ceiling goes up about 25 feet, and to your left and right it starts to open up even more, to where you see just almost like this forest of really high fungus and stuff growing on the embankment of this river on your side. And then it grows up to this kind of cliff face wall of the tunnel that kind of goes up to the ceiling of the tunnel, up about 20, 25 feet high, with stalactites hanging up there and stuff like that.
Well,
I mean, we could all just try to jump across the rocks and the...
Maybe they can help. I don't know if they can help. Shh, don't say anything. Just don't. Stop it.
Show yourself. I just say out loud, being like kind of nervous to go across this water and honestly trust myself. Even though I just said like I can take care of it. I don't think I can take care of it, but I don't want to think that. So I'm going to just start confronting whatever is talking.
Okay.
I don't want to think about how weak I actually am, so I'm just becoming like not angry but combative with whatever voice I'm hearing.
I just need maybe they can help. I don't know.
Show yourself. I hear you talking. Don't think I don't hear you.
We hear you too.
I think to myself, then show yourself.
I think I'll think, how long have you been here?
What is long? What is how long? We are. We just are.
Where are you?
We are here. You are here and we are here.
Okay. Can I see you?
You can see us. You see us. You always see us.
Why is it that every place we go has creepy things trying to crawl into our minds?
I guess not just our minds, with Delmar as his.
Kriegs thinks to himself, this didn't happen to me until I ran into you guys.
What was that?
Nothing.
Kriegs has just been so cranky lately.
I agree, and he's really dirty too.
You could fix that, you know, complaining about it, like what? Why does he always complain about it and not use prestige?
All of you, just stop thinking for one second. Where? Who are you? Who am I talking to?
We are here. You are here. Will you help? You can help. Will you help?
Well, what help do you need?
She needs us, but we don't want her.
Want who?
She needs us, but shh, stop it. We can't. You know we can't. You can't. She needs us, but we need her. We don't need her. You can't.
We honestly, I feel like we come in peace. Craig thinks to himself, I feel like that anyway. Maybe we can help if you, well, maybe we can reach some kind of mutually beneficial agreement. I don't know. How long? You said you've been here and have always been here.
There is we. When there is we, there's always we. Only we. We are. She is now. But we always are.
Who is she? What is her name?
What is name?
Name is what we call ourselves. What we bear to our friends. It makes us who we are.
She is she. We don't know names. We are we, and she is she. And
well, we. I am Sofren Imbaroque. That is my name. It was the name given to me upon my creation. We.
You hear in your voice, you're in your head. I like Craig's called her better.
This is the name that was given to me when I came to be. I was not always. I became now and am still now. How has she come to be?
She grew, and we grew, but we grew then. She grows now.
I'd like to look around and see if I can see any creatures around us.
Yeah, I'm basically just talking to, like, the air at this point.
Yeah, make an investigation, or make perception checks. Anybody who wants to see if you can see what you're talking to.
Definitely doing that. And mind you, most of the conversation that I'm having is verbal, even though I hear responses like...
Yeah. You don't hear... Nobody hears any responses with your ears at all. It's just the sound of this just loud rushing river.
Davin got a 15.
I got a 16 plus something that is in a character sheet hidden away on a tab somewhere on my computer. You said perception? 17 total.
Yeah, you guys, as you kind of look around, you see in the opening to your right that goes down like a small hallway into this circular room. As you look, you see what looks like the human size, like the size of a human head, right at head level to you, Davin. You see this mushroom-like almost face pull back out of the around the corner whenever it notices you looking around. You just barely catch a little pull back away into that space that's beyond that little hallway.
Davin immediately thinks, what would be the best fight? Fire? Ice? Probably fire. Dang it.
Davin.
I'm not going to attack anybody. I'm just thinking ahead of time. I just do that sometimes. Sorry.
My friend, he's... Listen not to him. It's been a long journey for us all. You say you were made to be then. Do you understand time, concept of time, the passing of days, nights, years?
Juxer's mind goes, why doesn't he just ask what they want?
We want to know her.
Maybe Davin was right.
Me?
No, Gwyn.
Hearing that, Gwyn, think me or say me, is we, is Is she here now?
Here, yes. Yes.
Is she one of the four of us?
Us?
Well, you? The four of us that we were not always here. We were not always there, but we are here now.
Not just now. She now, but not just now.
Is she listening to our thoughts as well?
We don't know.
Does she look similar to any of us? Tall, short, hair, alive. What? Tell me about her. Tell me about she.
She needs us. We don't need she. We don't need her.
Well, a funny thing about need. Why does she need you?
So to not be gone. She need us so she not be gone.
What could we do to help?
No more she. 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 You're hearing, it's like hive mind, like multiple voices all in your mind at once, saying, just concurring, no more she, no more she.
Davin thinks, we're wasting our time here. Listen, guys, I think that we should just move across the river. I don't know what this thing is, but we didn't come here to help it.
Look, we, as you can clearly hear, my friends are eager to continue on our journey, but you want us to help, and you have an opportunity to tell us, obviously, you want no more she. What? How can you... How can we help you? Beyond, well, I guess killing.
Killing is no more. Killing is no more she.
That is the least ideal answer to your problems. I would prefer, go down prefer to her, finding...
Go down to her, killing her, and no more she.
Ah, these are your intentions. Is she evil?
She need us.
She need you to not be not here. That's hard to say. She need you to be not be not here.
Not be not tomorrow, now, to be, today.
But not to be.
Sorry, I've got us all into this.
I secretly love it. Does she hurt you? Do you not want her because you are in pain?
She use we. She take we. She grow from we.
Davin hears you say, she take we, and he's like, oh, I really have to pee.
Nice one.
I wonder if Gwendolyn can, I don't know. She has more of a connection with nature than I have ever had at this point, and I wonder if that's just all I think. That's as far as my thoughts get.
I think during this time, after it started a while, I'll be working on a ritual spell. Maybe this might help. Maybe we could use this. And that's what you guys are hearing while he's trying to cast something.
Okay.
What are the components of your ritual? Somatic? What do we got?
There's a little bit of verbal, which that's, I'm just kind of speaking out, like, and drawing out a circle. And that's, so it's verbal, somatic, and material. And I'm okay. Using a drop of mercury as, so I'm just drawing and kind of saying that stuff out loud.
Sick. What does Arcana sound like, Dungeon Master?
Arcana?
He's using magic, and it's like sure. A verbal incantation. Well,
he says it in whatever language he wants to say it in. It's like, you know, It's like Harry Potter uses Latin. I mean, he's going to use whatever he wants.
I just wondered if the actual act of, like, a part of me is curious what magical footholds has, like, on mental capacity and, like, what the relationship is between the two. And when reaching inside to cast something like that, I'm just, I can't help but wonder.
I think,
yeah. Is it like, am I hearing just crazy energetic static, or?
I think something like a ritual, you're hearing him think about the process, you know, it's like he's following a recipe and gotcha. He's, you know, setting out a ritual spell. And then it literally, like, instead of like add 3 cups of butter, it says, now say these words. And so he's going to say, you know, to the moon comes the sun with the rising of the, whatever it says to say. And that's what it's
no, gonna, I want to hear the rest of that. Hear. Continue.
I was just throwing that out there out of the middle of nowhere. So there was just no curious. More to it. There is no more.
Something I've always thought about is what, like, that could potentially sound like. So, you know me, just thinking.
Yeah, and it may be different for, like, a sorcerer whose magic just kind of comes from their being, or a
yeah.
or a warlock.
Davin doesn't really think at all. He just does it.
Something. Yeah,
just does it.
Davin's gonna walk up to Gwen and say, "Gwen, I think we gotta move on, right? If you want to get to your place."
Yes, as soon as possible. I don't know who these people are. Even if I'm in tune with nature, I don't know them. Because I don't think Gwen would feel anything in this cave. Is that not correct?
By feel anything, what do you mean?
Like, when she's out in the wilds, she can feel... She can hear the birds, she can feel how the wind blows, and feel nature. And in here, she doesn't really feel, I mean, that.
This is all natural plant life, and mm-hmm. critters and creatures. You don't get, like, the dead, like, horrible vibes you got, you know, when you were in the woods with Kriggs going to get his new powers and stuff, and you felt that mm-hmm. deadness. You don't feel that. It just feels like, you know, it feels like nature has taken over here, but there's something, and what you're hearing, the voices, these creatures, they all feel very natural. They just, okay. they don't necessarily maybe give you the same little cute critter vibes that you get, but it's not undead or like gross or icky. It's definitely not that same feeling you get from like the dark mist and things like that.
Okay. I mean, let's be on our way then.
Yeah, Kriggs, tell we that we'll, if we see her, we'll kill her, but otherwise we gotta get going.
Well, I think you just told them yourself.
And you hear Gwendolyn think, that's true.
It's a Joxer, I don't know how long it's been, but I'll, you know, at the 10-minute mark. Ah, there it is. And he's just standing in front of nothing.
Okay.
Heaven thinks Joxer's finally losing it.
Kriggs thinks, finally?
Quiet. Gwen thinks Almanora.
He's like putting his hand in front of him and like pressing down, and it looks like there's resistance.
He's definitely right. Lost it.
What are you doing over there?
Come here. Just, and then I'll just pick up Kriggs and put him on nothing. It's a floating disc.
Okay.
Consent would be nice. Kriggs says out loud.
All right. Yes. Okay. It worked. I didn't know if that was going to make you... Okay. Yes. Anyway, this is a floating disc, as I'm just pointing at you floating in the air.
All right. Can we all fit on it? How big is it?
Hold on. And then I want to look down, and how deep is the water that I can see?
It's really hard to tell with how fast it's flowing. Right up here at the edge, of course, it's pretty shallow. But it's hard to tell. Make a nature check as you look at it.
Okay, so that is an 18. 19 minus 1.
Yeah, judging from the stones and things that are like kind of jutting from the water, they look like pretty large stones, which makes you think this might be pretty deep.
Okay.
Looking at it, you don't know that you'd have a measurement, but definitely you think like most of us couldn't, most of you couldn't stand in it. And you definitely think the rushing, how fast it's rushing, you definitely, it would be hard to fight against the current of this river for sure.
This still isn't the best path over, but if I can jump across these rocks, this follows me. We could maybe tie rope around it.
Well, it floats. Can it float away from you?
So it essentially, as long as it's within 20 feet, it remains unmoving. But when I walk away, it will follow me. It doesn't float very high, so...
Can you push it away?
I mean, I could probably push it
the full length of 20 feet.
So
will it float on the water?
I don't think so. I think it's whoever it you would follow along. It you'd just be holding on to it. Hold up, one way the spell ends.
So am I currently sitting on it and it's floating? Hold on, while we read a book.
Yeah, so it doesn't move while it's within 20 feet of me. When I move more than 20 feet away, it then will follow me. Can't cross an elevation change of 10 feet or more.
The immobile is what trips me up.
Yeah, so it is completely solid. I can't push it.
I was going to say, have Davin mage handed or you mage handed across while we just like ride the thing across.
It'd be sweet.
You would have to go across and it would have to follow him.
How much does Davin weigh?
I believe it's 180 pounds.
Craig's is about 140. So I reckon unless Gwyn's. How big is this thing? 3 feet above the ground? Feet. How diameter? 3 feet diameter.
Yeah, so
I don't think Gwyn's hella chunky, so
I realized I didn't put a weight and I just put rude.
Nice.
So I don't know how much Gwyn weighs.
Rude.
I don't think enough to where we're gonna like break the 500-pound weight limit.
No.
Yeah, you'll just have to hold on, you know, pretty tight because you'll probably get a little wet.
Well, I mean, I'm up for a ride across if everyone else is. This is a terrible idea, Craig thinks to himself.
Sounds like we're gonna all sink and die. Yeah, let's try it. It's gonna be fine.
Okay. I'll take some rope and like do some cross so you can actually see it. And then
do some cross stitching.
Well, yeah, I'm just crossing and, you know, knots. Yeah, cross stitching. I'm going to cross stitch over this floating Sick. Disc. And then you know, put some loopholes that everybody could, you know, hold on to without needing a lot of effort against some of the water.
I'm riding on top of this thing.
Yeah, it's there's some, you know, elbow holds for you while you're, you know, trying to hold yourself on your butt on. Well, I guess I'm gonna just start jumping across and you'll follow. And maybe if I'm fast enough, it'll float on each one of these rocks instead of dipping down into the water a bit.
If I die, I'm gonna kill him, Griggs thinks.
Yeah, that's all right, fair.
So you're gonna go across?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to jump across.
All right, the... make your first dexterity saving throw.
Okay. And my die has ran. Oh, there's. Okay, so that is a hold on, saving
no
throw.
Whammies.
No. So dexterity saving throw plus 8. So that is a 16 plus 1.
Okay, so 17 is good. Who all is on this disc?
I'll hop on top.
I'm sitting on it like
it's 3 feet in diameter, so
yeah.
And yeah, I essentially did, you know, cross rope and then tried to make two like arm hold loops at like each corner or like equally spaced.
Gwendolyn will always, she'll always, she will also jump on and hold on to the closest person.
There is barely room for Kriggs to stand in the middle and Davin and Gwen on either side, like with your feet intermixed with each other and having to hang on to each other to not fall down. And go ahead.
Gwendolyn's going to hold on to Davin.
Okay, so just
hug him as
so Joxer jumps three
Kriggs
stones.
Kriggs is going to also hold on to Davin, and I'm going to hug like one of his legs as tight as I can.
Okay.
Yes.
So Joxer, you watch as he jumps over to a stone, and he jumps three stones clean, and they're getting, you know, there's water kind of rushing around them, and they're kind of covered in this moss, but he seems to be landing cleanly. He jumps to the fourth stone, and when he does, woo, it starts to pull you guys, and your balance kind of shifts.
I hate this.
Make your next dexterity saving throw, Joxer.
Over and over again, Kriggs thinking, I hate this so much.
Oh, Nat, that's a luck die right there. A nat one is not going to work. Ah, but 17 plus 8 plus 1, so that'll be a 26.
Yeah,
how
so
many luck
you,
die do you get?
I get 3.
Jeez. That was 2, right?
Yep, that's yeah. It's worth
so
it.
So you land, this one, you go to jump and you redirect where you're going to go mid-leap and use your opposite foot and do land successfully. And you jump across another and another, and this disc again whoops itself towards him as to stay 20 feet behind us. He's just got a few more. You can see the embankment, Joxer, as you kind of balance on one foot on one of these stones, getting ready to leap to the next ones. The water's rushing around you. It's loud and it's splashing up and getting your boots and legs and everything wet. Everyone else, you're just barely hovering 3 inches over this water, and it's coming up over the disc, but still not pushing the disc down so you feel safe, but it is coming up under your feet as you're resting in between a couple of the stones. Ahead of you, you can all see now that there is a 15-foot wide corridor ahead of you with these familiar stone walls, just like from the little hallway you just left. There are more, there's more like doorways. There's one to the left and there's one ahead of you that goes down to the right. And you can see all this as you kind of go through the mist of this river as you move forward. Make your last dexterity saving throw, Joxer.
All of you just here, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Don't mess this up. Stop listening. Don't mess this up.
I hate this.
We're gonna die.
20.
This is quite fun.
25.
Yeah, you needed a 20. And so you land on the other side and just kind of, as you do, the disc is still hovering out in the water. You sense this like, oh, I made it. And then you turn around and look, and you've got your three companions still standing on this invisible disc, just hovering 3 inches above the water, which it looks like the way the water is flowing, it looks like they are standing on top of the water because it's splashing up onto them a little bit on their feet. But you're only about 10 feet away from them when you hit the embankment.
Let me go grab my phone for this. This looks awesome. No. Sorry. And then I'll back up another, 15 feet to make sure they're on it.
All right. You back up 15 feet. And as you back up, I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Ooh. Okay. That.
As he does that, the disc does go over the overland, and it is now sitting overland as you look and you see Joxer take a step backwards and then another. And as he takes a second, his foot's about to come down on one of these fungus on the ground. What was your wisdom saving throw?
Not great. Where's wisdom? So that is that's a 7.
So you actually go to step your foot down and something inside you says, don't step. And you don't step. And you hear the voices, don't do it, don't step, you can't step, please don't step. And you end up tripping yourself up. Make a dexterity saving throw again.
Okay. Okay, that is a 17.
Yeah, so you quickly kind of shift your balance and end up landing back on 2 feet and looking down where you were about to step on a small patch of these bright colored yellow and red and blue mushrooms that were just on the ground beneath your foot. And something just didn't let you step down on them. And Then as you guys are all there, is everybody staying on the disc, climbing off the disc? Once you get over land, what are you doing?
I immediately jump off the disc, like onto land. That's like just clear land. I'm like, nope. I did not like this.
I'll hop down too.
Sam, I am. I do not like this.
Yeah, I take my time.
don't watch out. There's more of those mushrooms.
You hear in your heads, oh, they got me all dirty now too. And Davin's going to cast Prestidigitation on himself again to clean himself off.
All right.
As you guys think, you'd offer that to me too, you know? I mean, I'm apparently so stinky, freaks things to himself.
Davin says out loud, clean your own clothes.
Got him.
Oof.
Daddy!
As you guys stop, you kind of start looking around and assessing. You guys start looking around to assess what you've got going on here, what this is. And you see a doorway to your left that goes into a small rectangular room. Ahead of you, you see it's a large, you're in about 15 foot wide corridor that goes straight ahead and then curves to the right or left. The left turns to another 15 foot wide hallway corridor. The right shrinks down into a little 10 foot wide corridor. And there's again, fungus, moss, and that sort of stuff growing everywhere. But this time you notice two figures standing in front of you. They stand about 7 foot tall each. And they, from the feet up, they look like they're mushroom people. They have spores growing and coming from them. Their body, you know, as it goes up, they do have two arms and two legs, but their shoulders kind of morph into this like no neck kind of trunk with a mushroom kind of head sprouting up on the top of their head. And they look up at you, and they have no mouths, but they do have what seem to be almost like eyes, and they tilt their heads to the side, and you hear, you help, you help, yes, you help.
We can help.
And as Gwyn says that, you look around and suddenly there are two more of these step out of the piles of mushrooms. Three little small ones step out and they're on four legs like a creature of some kind, almost like a dog. And they walk out to you and you see these mushroom people emerging from these little mushrooms like they've been hiding in there. And inside your mind, you hear, help, please help. We need help. I need help. You help. Help now. Help.
And
that's where we end the episode.
My children! Mushroom Daddy is here to save you.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here
right.
Thank you for joining us on this episodic installment of The Hired Swords. If you enjoyed our show, do us a favor and tell a friend about us. If you really enjoyed our show, do us a big favor and tell the world. Leave a review. If you want to keep up with us and all the behind-the-scenes goofs and gaffes, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Hired Swords. You may also find us on Discord if you look at our pin post on Twitter for an invite. Be sure to check out our merch store at thehired.store, and again, thank you for listening.
A story of monsters, mystery, and myth. And the four adventurers who have banded together as heroes and as friends.
And then he hears Val's voice from above, and then he basically feels better.
Yeah.
Who come together to make the world a little safer for their fellow mortals.
Large creatures.
I brought Hody!
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't put Hody in danger.
Well, I guess it's hero time.
Reckless Attack is a weekly, collaboratively built, and character-driven D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. Join us at our table as we explore a homebrew fantasy world whose future is built on the mistakes of the past. A story of ultra giants and saints, legends and rediscovery, and stacks of frogs.
Chakras is building his own Ewok village.
Yes, he is.
Check us out at recklessattack.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.